In the matter of Samuel D. Jackson, may we please have appearances of counsel?
Deputy Ethics Counsel Hillary Horton on behalf of the Office of Attorney Ethics.
And I'm Gerard Hanlon, and I'm here with Mr. Samuel Jackson, who is my client.
Good afternoon. Ms. Horton, please go ahead.
May it please the court, this matter originated as a motion for final discipline out of New York, in which respondent pleaded guilty to two counts of unlawful surveillance in the second degree in Nassau County in July of 2018, and then a few weeks later pleaded guilty in New York County to a separate attempted unlawful surveillance count. Before the Disciplinary Review Board, the OAE recommended a six-month suspension with conditions to be finished prior to reinstatement, including proof of psychological counseling and fitness to practice as attested by a mental health professional approved by the Office of Attorney Ethics. The DRB, in its decision, split in its recommendation, with four members voting for a six-month suspension retroactive with the conditions recommended by the OAE and the additional recommendation that respondent continue psychological treatment for 2 years following his reinstatement. Three members of the DRB voted for a two-year suspension with the same conditions recommended by the majority, and one member voted for respondent's disbarment. The OAE continues to recommend the six-month suspension with the conditions as have been recommended by the DRB majority opinion. The OAE's recommendation was made in light of the extremely disturbing and misogynistic facts that are before the court, and not in any way made to minimize the seriousness of this matter. The OAE, in recommending its six-month suspension, agrees with the DRB's citation to the line of the lewdness cases, including Sicklinger, where a pattern of conduct was involved and he received a three-month suspension, and Gilligan, Pierce, and Dahl, where reprimands were given, that those cases are indeed instructive and that this is a case of first impression. The DRB also agreed with the Office of Attorney Ethics that a suspension longer than the 3 months meted out in Sicklinger is appropriate. And the OAE notes that when respondent was pro se before the Disciplinary Review Board, and as the DRB noted in its opinion, he showed sincere contrition and remorse, which he also showed in his sentencing hearing and his DRB brief, and as stated before, in his oral argument before the board. Respondent here in this case has consistently admitted his wrongdoing, seeming to truly understand the harm it's caused his victims and to the bar, and to have taken real steps, including the psychological counseling that he's documented in his submission, his July 2020 submission to this court, to address the root cause of his missteps with the law and with the ethics system here in New Jersey. Thus, unless the court has any questions for me or would like a more elaborate recitation of the facts, which are available in the DRB opinion as well as my brief before the DRB, I will continue with the OAE's recommendation of a six-month suspension with the conditions as outlined at the end of the Disciplinary Review Board's majority opinion.
I have a question, Ms. Horton. Attorneys have an obligation to come forward and disclose charges against them to the OAE. And I was looking at this, the sequence of events. I just want to be sure that I'm understanding the timing correctly. Mr. Jackson self-reported to the OAE in August of 2018, which is almost a month after he pled guilty in New York, but it is much later than when he was indicted, which was in December of 2017. Am I right in that sequence, or am I missing something?
I think that is correct. I would have to, I have it right here. Do I have one moment to check something?
Sure, and while you're checking that, I just want to check this as well. In reviewing the record, Mr. Jackson indicated that he ceased all practice of law 1 month before the plea's entry. So I gather he was continuing to practice from the time of the event in June of 2017, after the time of indictment, up until July 2018. Is that correct?
I I can't speak to that, as he was he would have been practicing in New York, and that's not something that I have personal knowledge of.
Mr. Hanlon can help me with that. I just want to make sure that I have my facts correct.
But you are correct in that his first reporting to the Office of Attorney Ethics was on August 19th of 2018.
Okay, thank you.
So that was sometime after his indictment.
Okay. So that's the date to which the retroactive suspension would relate.
His temp suspension was on February 6th of 2019. So it's my understanding.
Oh, that's right. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I have that too. Okay.
Thank you, Ms. Wharton.
Did that answer? Okay.
Yeah.
We'll hear from Mr. Hanlon. And Mr. Hanlon, I'm sure you're going to touch on these two issues at least, but I'd underscore them: fitness to practice and treatment.
Okay. Thank you, Chief Justice. It's a pleasure to represent Samuel Jackson. We all know what he did from the time he was arrested. He could not have been more forthcoming, more contrite, more embarrassed. And he sought treatment with a Dr. Hartman 6 days after he was arrested, the arrest taking place on June 10th, the last arrest on June 10th, 1917. He started with Dr. Hartman 6 days later and continues to see Dr. Hartman every week. So he's been seeing Dr. Hartman every week for over 3 years. Dr. Hartman says without hesitation and to a reasonable degree of psychological certainty, he is mentally and psychologically fit to practice law. But it doesn't end there. Dr. Hartman is something that obviously Mr. Jackson needed, and is somebody who's been extremely beneficial to Mr. Jackson and his understanding of why he did what he did, because he has to go forward with his life. And before he can go forward and say to people like this esteemed body that I'll never do this again, he has to have an understanding of why he did what he did. And I think Dr. Hartman and Dr. Manasian and Dr. Bardi did that for him. Dr. Manasian by Mr. Jackson since February of 2019, again every week. And these sessions go from 75 minutes to 90 minutes. Dr. Manasian is an adult sex offender treatment program guidance counselor. He's made significant progress. He doesn't miss a meeting. Remember, this is every week now. So he goes to see Dr. Hartman every week, and then he sees Dr. Manasian every week. Finally, Dr. Bardi gave us an idea, we lay people, of why this esteemed person, Samuel Jackson, went to Rice undergrad and then Fordham Law School, no prior disciplinary or criminal history. But again, he had to have an understanding before we even approached this court of why he did what he did. And Dr. Bardi said this was a distraught mental state following the breakup of his girlfriend, made possible by the disinhibition brought about by alcohol. He was an extreme alcoholic, and that apparently will always remain an alcoholic. Parenthetically, he has not had a drink since his arrest. He's not touched alcohol. Dr. Bardi claims that he would pose virtually no risk to the community, and what happened was not a true reflection of his character. So the three doctors, and again, one is a state doctor, someone he was compelled to go to, Dr. Manasian, and Dr. Hartman, who talks about his qualities and what we should expect going forward, again, corroborated by Dr. Bardi, all indicate that he is fit to practice law right now, but with conditions. And this is not disputed. We don't dispute these conditions. We don't dispute the logic of them. He should continue to go to therapy with Dr. Hartman and Dr. Manasian. He should abstain from alcohol. But I think he's psychologically fit right now to go on, because remember, I'm talking to you as his lawyer 3 years removed, more than three years removed from the time he was arrested. And he's been totally compliant with everything asked of him since then. So I do believe that the letters from, and by the way, they're current letters from Dr. Manasian and Dr. Hartman, July 15th they were dated, and they're talking about his fitness, not only as a lawyer, and able to continue forward, but his fitness as a human being and someone who at least now has an understanding of why he did what he did. No one who probes the depths of minds in a situation like this thinks that he will be any danger to recurring this behavior. So I do think, and I hope your justices agree with me, that he has really done his penance, and I give him all the credit in the world. Regardless of the outcome here, I would still turn to him after this video is over and say, you know what, you did a good job, and I'm proud to represent you. You did everything that's been asked of you. You have a great understanding of why you did what you did. I think he can be a truly good lawyer going forward, and he's going to have some problems because I don't know if you can expunge these in New York, but even if you could, you can't escape now the fact that all this appears on Google, on the Internet. So he's going to have some challenges ahead in his life, and he tells me he's got a student debt of $380,000. He has, by the way, again to his credit, he works as a supervisor in a parking garage 4 nights a week and 1 time during the day. He's been able to pay off his brother from a loan that he gave him. He's been able to get off food stamps, and he hired me. And I have to say that I hired him at a reduced price because he came to me and he told me about one lawyer who quoted a certain figure to him, and I said, I won't do that. I said, you did all the work here. You represented yourself before the DRB. You're the one who put this impressive paperwork together. But I'd be glad to sit next to you before our Supreme Court and represent you. And I'm glad I did. And I think he's worthwhile, and I think he's worthwhile to give him a second chance. I truly believe in second chances, and I truly believe that he has earned a second chance to be a lawyer. Thank you.
Do you know, does he intend to reapply for admission to New York? I see he was disbarred in December of 18.
He does, Justice. My understanding of New York is that it's not a permanent thing. He can reapply after 7 years to get readmitted. And yes, he would plan to do that.
And does he have plans, if he succeeds with his application here, does he have plans for practicing in New Jersey?
He's right here, Justice. I don't know. He'd like to practice here in New Jersey. I think he'd like to. I think if I had to look at the future, I think he has to go where the job is. If he gets a job in New York or a job in New Jersey, I think he's going to have to go because I think the pickings are going to be lean for him, truthfully. So I think it just depends on where things fall for him.
Mr. Hanlon, has your client practiced law in the state of New Jersey in the past 2 years?
No, Justice, he has not.
Thank you.
Has he ever practiced law in New Jersey?
Yes, briefly. So before I was arrested, I worked for a law firm that handled cases. And as part of that work, I did practice law very briefly in New Jersey, but I was fired from that job on the day of my arrest, and since that arrest, I never practiced any law in New Jersey.
I'm sorry, what was the nature of that practice?
The one that I had before I was arrested, you mean?
Yes, sir.
It was a personal injury firm and also a general civil practice.
Thank you.
Other questions, anyone? Is there anything you'd like to add, Mr. Jackson?
Yes. First of all, thank you for hearing me. I appreciate your time, Your Honors. I just wanted to reiterate how sorry and ashamed I am of what I did. My behavior was absolutely wrong, and it reflected poorly on me, and it harmed the legal profession, and it most of all harmed my victims. It was selfish and disgusting, and I've never been more ashamed of anything. So I appreciate this court considering readmitting me, and I hope that I am readmitted so that I can practice law in the future and use my license to help people. But in the meantime, I've been doing my best to seek counseling and lean on my friends and family and do everything in my power to make sure that nothing like this ever happens again, and that I can address the root causes that underlied that kind of behavior so that I can be sure that I never even face a situation where that crosses my mind. I will accept any punishment that this court sees fit to impose, and thank you for your time.
Thank you, Mr. Hanlon. Thank you, Ms. Wharton, Mr. Jackson. We'll take the matter under advisement.